Bethany Baptist Church
would like to welcome all to attend the Spiritual Revival Missions Conference being held September 15th through September 22nd with the theme Empowering Future Generations for Global Missions. Please plan to join us for spiritually uplifting praise and worship, inspirational missionary testimonies about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and anointed speakers that will minister the word of God. For more information, please go to our website, bethanybaptist-pgh.org. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching minister, William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia. Thank you for joining us for the conclusion of No More Excuses from our series, More Than Conquerors. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion.
But am I doing it? And again, with these individuals, you know, very simple things, but yet and still, they became more than conquerors. He's not in there, but I was thinking about a man named James Jones, not the one that led people down to South America and got all these people to commit, not that one, but there was another young man. His name was James Jones, and he had a problem with stuttering. And as he stuttered, you know, people in his class growing up, they made fun of him. And one of the things that he would do, you know, as he dealt with, you know, and today we would call it being bullied, is that he began to write poems. And he began to write some of the most beautiful poems. But he would not stand before people. He would not speak. And so he had a new teacher that came and understood the issue that he was dealing with. And so he said to James, he read one of his poems, and he said to James, "You didn't write this poem." And James said, "Yes, I did." He said, "You didn't write this poem." And James said, "Yes, I did." He said, "Well, if you wrote this poem, then I want you to read it. I want you to stand up and read it before the class. If you wrote it, because I'm not going to believe that you wrote it unless you stand up and read it before the class." And he stood up and began to read his poetry. And the person that had a problem with stuttering, the words began to flow from his lips. This man read the poem, read his poem beautifully. You'll fast forward years later. You all know this person. His name is James Earl Jones. James Earl Jones. And the beautiful thing is that James Earl Jones has actually read the Bible on tape, on CD, that people can listen to. And when James Earl Jones got an award, he went back and he thanked that teacher. And he said that this teacher who helped me overcome my problem not only helped me overcome my problem, but helped me grow in my relationship with Jesus Christ. Wow. Overcomers. Just simple, ordinary people, overcomers. And this is something that we need to realize that God has said that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. What's the first thing that these individuals had in common? They were more dependent on God and less dependent on self. Woodbridge says this: a number of these individuals seemed to have struggled in their Christian walk until they gave up trying to orchestrate their own lives. After they let go and trusted God to do with their lives whatever he wanted, they discovered greater peace and their ministries blossomed fully. The first thing that was common among these conquerors is the fact that they were more dependent on God and less dependent on self. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And many of you can probably quote this from memory. And it says here, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I told you it was simple. I told you. It's not some deep truth that's been hidden in the mysteries of time. Very simple. That these individuals who were conquerors, that they depended less on themselves and more on God. Wow. Where are you at today, child of God? We are so self-sufficient. It's sad to see what's going on in our government today with the shutdown. And people who were getting a paycheck are no longer getting a paycheck. I can't begin to fathom. I don't know about you, but I can't begin to fathom in my mind that if I missed the paycheck, where I would be. Here these individuals, they came up with some ideas. They told them we'll have a yard sale or, start a dog sitting service and all this other kind of stuff. I said, man, you know what? That still is not going to replace your income. But then you think about it. And again, I wouldn't want to be in that situation. So I'm not going to belittle it. I'm not going to make light of it. But if anybody now, if you are a believer, had to have a trust and faith in God, see, that's when it really kicks in. It don't kick in. See, many of us, it don't kick in for it because we're not in that situation. We know that we got a paycheck coming. We know that we're going to be able to pay our bills. We know that we're going to be able to put food on the table. But I wonder sometimes if God doesn't want us to have the attitude of somebody that don't have a paycheck. And I believe that's why we have such a hard time being conquerors, because we are dependent and we see how we're going to make it. Oh man, I remember reading a story about Hudson Taylor, who was a missionary to China, and he wrote a letter to his wife one time when they were having particularly difficult financial times. He said that all we have is 25 cents and all the promises of God. Wow. All we have is 25 cents and all the promises of God. What is one thing that was common among conquerors? That they were more dependent on God and less dependent on self. A second theme that ran among the conquerors that were listed in this book is that they spent time in prayer. They spent time in prayer. So let's be honest now. Let's do an attitude check. How much time are you spending in prayer? And you wonder why, and hopefully I'm not talking to a lot of people this morning, but you wonder why you live a defeated life. You wonder why you couldn't beat your way out of a wet paper bag spiritually. And it's as Woodbridge says, he says, most of these individuals viewed prayer as an indispensable source of spiritual power for their ministries. The sad reality, and I hope this is not true at Bethany. Oh, I hope to God that this is not true at Bethany. But the fact that some ministry, if God was to leave some ministries, that they could still go on and function. Man, our ministry should be so dependent on the power of God that if God was to withdraw himself, that the ministry would just, boom, collapse. And that the only way that these ministries continue is because they're being infused with the power of God. Prayer was an indispensable source of power for their ministries. They spent time in prayer. Charles Spurgeon, that great, great prince of preachers, had some people came and visit his church. And when they came to visit his church, he would usually take them on a tour. And he asked this group of people, he said, "Do you want to see my furnace room?" And they didn't really want to see the furnace room. But they said, "Well, you know, this guy, he's a great, one of the greatest preachers of our day. Well, yeah, we'll go see it." And he took them downstairs and in a room. There were hundreds of people on their face crying out to God for the ministry. "Do you want to see my furnace room? Do you want to see where the fire comes? You want to see where the power comes from?" I've said it here before, no prayer, no power, little prayer, little power, much prayer, much power. These truths are simply profound, yet they are profoundly simple. Wow. I mean, you know, let's start right here, saints. Let's not have some big workshop or some big seminar. Let's start right here with these things that are simple. If we could just master these things right here, man, there's nothing in our lives that we couldn't overcome. The next thing, again, nothing big, right? Nothing big, but it was characteristic of those who were overcomers, and that is they had a love for the Word of God. Many of them loved the Word of God. They relied on it as a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path, as Woodbridge says. How much time do you spend in the Word? Conquerors, overcomers. They spend time in the Word. And as we walk along this darksome path, as the songwriter said, that this Word is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. Back in ancient days, there would be holes in the road where people could twist their ankle. There would be obstacles in the road where people could stumble on. But worst of all, there would be dung in the road. You know, all those animals. You ever go to Israel and you around a bunch of animals and you see, man, there's dung everywhere, right? And so at night, you couldn't see the dung. And so you step in it. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want anybody coming to my crib with dung on there, right? Right? And so what they would do is that they would have a lamp, and some people said they actually put light on their feet so they could watch, and then other people said, well, they just carried a lantern so that they could see where the stuff was on the road. And I don't know about you, but like I said, I don't like stepping in mess. And thank God that there's a lot of mess in life. You know, there's some stuff, man, that people will goad you into. Right? I mean, they will just try to get your goat, and they will try to upset you on purpose or get you to sin on purpose. You know, my washing machine is broke down, and so I had to go to the laundromat yesterday. And I went to the laundromat yesterday, and, I just started talking to people at the laundromat. You know, I figured that, you know, if you got to be here, you know, maybe be a blessing, you know, to somebody. So I started talking to this guy, and he started telling me his life story. And then, he started telling me all this stuff about why he was at the laundromat. And it wasn't for a godly reason. He was there. I'm just going to be honest. He was there to check out the ladies. So ladies, beware when you go to the laundromat. that's why he was there. And he started running to me his game, right? And I'm thinking to myself, man, you know, this is not the kind of conversation that I wanted to get into, you know? And so what? There's people everywhere that's waiting to draw you in. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Conquerors. See, now, you know, and again, I'm not going to claim some great victory in that situation, but the fact is that, you know, somebody that's not a conqueror, you know, you begin to engage. Oh. You begin to engage in that, right? And then, you know, both of y'all be sitting in the laundromat singing, I'm a girl watching. No. Right? But when you know the word of God, and the word of God, you know, says in it to let your eyes look straight on. When the word of God says, I've covenant with my eyes that I would not look upon a woman lustfully. When you know what the word of God says, it keeps you away from a lot of mess. And so something as simple as that, you can be an overcomer instead of being a conquered individual. They had a love for the word of God, a love for the word. Man, it's so simple, but yet it's profound. They had a love for the word of God. They exercised humility. They exercise humility. Many of these individuals were genuinely humble. They did not seek to impress others with their accomplishments, but freely and sincerely gave away the glory to God. You know, humility is something that's lacking in our culture today. That, you know, it's all about us. It's all about what I can get and what recognition I can obtain. But let me direct your attention to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. In verse 3. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. For I say, through the grace of God given to me, to every man and woman or every person that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Humility. I told y'all the story about the elephant. You get tired of hearing me tell this one, right? That was walking across the bridge, and he had his aunt on his back. As they walked across the bridge, that bridge shook, and it was almost like an earthquake. And they got to the other side, and the aunt said, man, we sure did make that bridge shake. And we look at our lives, and God does all these great things, and we want to get the recognition. We want to get the glory. But these individuals were not in it for the glory for themselves. They were not in it to seek to impress other people. But their goal was to glorify God, that there was humility among them. And then finally, Woodbridge says that among these individuals that there was a serious commitment to Jesus Christ, a serious commitment to Jesus Christ. Perhaps the most common characteristic running through their lives is the seriousness of their commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, whom they love. Oh, my goodness. These were not Sunday Christians who paraded their Christianity as a matter of a social convention. My. You know, these were not Sunday Christians that just showed up and went through the motions, but these were individuals that had a serious commitment to Jesus Christ. If we go back and look at the early church, the people in the early church, the disciples, they had a serious commitment to Jesus Christ. And their commitment was so serious that they all, the 11 of the disciples, died a martyr's death, except for the apostle John, you know, they threw him in a cauldron of boiling oil, and he survived it. But that's how serious their commitment was. If you go back and study Christians during the early centuries, they were fed to the lions for their faith. They were burned at the stake. Nero doused Christians in some type of flammable substance, and he lit his walkway with Christians so that he would be able to walk on a lit walkway. There was other stories that you read about families that they would take, and they would take them to Rome to be tried, and they would try to get them on the way to denounce Christ. And they would tell the father and the mother to denounce Christ, and they would not denounce Christ, and they would throw one of their children off the side of the boat. They would not denounce Christ. They would throw another one. These individuals had a serious commitment to Jesus Christ. They were just not some lackluster, you know, everyday tiptoe to the tulips individuals. That these people had a serious commitment to Jesus Christ. And so as this man yesterday was in there telling me about why he was at the laundromat, I told him, you know what changed my life in my early 20s? I said, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And he came into my life and my life changed. And I've been trying to walk with him ever since. And he said, yeah, you know, I believe I do that too. A serious commitment to Jesus Christ. Man, just think of those, I think it's five things. I'm going to say it again. Simply profound, but profoundly simple. More than conquerors, Paul said. That word, more than conquerors, means that we are overcomer through Christ our Lord. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to share this word this morning. And Lord, we pray that you would help us all to see that we are more than conquerors, that there should not be anything that keeps us from your will for our lives, that keeps us from living the way that you want us to live, that keeps us from living in victory. Lord, as we enter into this new year, Father, we pray that you would allow us to realize what it means to be an overcoming believer. And that is what we would purpose in our heart that we're going to do. Lord, we realize it's easy to make soft choices. It's easy to go the path of least resistance. But Lord, that's the way of a loser. And maybe even that might be the way of a conqueror. But Lord, you have called us to be more than conquerors. And so we ask that you would help us, Lord. Whatever it is in our lives, that's that lion that we try to justify and keeps us incapacitated. Lord, we pray that you would help us to identify it, that you would help us to deal with it, so that we can walk in victory. Lord, I pray today that if there's someone here that has never received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, then as we give the invitation today, that they might come. Lord, if there's someone here today that's looking for a place to fellowship, a place to worship, and this is the house that you've led them to, that they would come. Lord, we commit this time to you, we commit this invitation to you, and we pray that you would be glorified. For us in Christ's name, we ask you.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of A God-Centered Self-Portrait. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, No More Excuses, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request No More Excuses. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request No More Excuses. Or call us at 877-831-5060 and request our series, More Than Conquerors. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Galaise and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.